Welcome, everyone. This is Spiritual Warfare Part 3, The Commander-in-Chief. In Part 1, you learned of a great spiritual battle being waged between the forces of good and evil. Now, this part, Part 3, along with Part 4 and Part 5, you're going to learn about the spiritual forces of good. Now, these include God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the angels. Now, they are powerful spiritual forces which assist believers in warfare. Now, there are many gods worshipped throughout the world, but there is only one true God. And the Holy Bible contains the story of this true God. This one God revealed in three distinct personalities of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are described in the Bible in terms of their nature. So when we speak of nature, we mean basic qualities which describe God. These qualities are also known as attributes, which means characteristics. Again, I want to speak about the Trinity of God. So the Bible reveals that God is triune. See, God has a triune nature. This means that He has three distinct personalities, yet He is one God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You see, the three persons of the Trinity of God are called God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, there are several scriptures which confirm this triune nature of God. When Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, God spoke and the Holy Spirit descended. We see this in Matthew 3, 16 through 17. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Amen. So prior to returning to heaven, after his ministry on earth, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit coming from God. In John 15, 26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." John 15, 26. The Apostle Peter spoke of the triune nature of God as well. It says in 1 Peter 4:14, it says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." Amen. So the Apostle Paul spoke of the Trinity in his writings. He wrote in Romans 8, 2 and 3, he said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And also in 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And also in Ephesians 2:18, it says, "For through him, the Son, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." You see, the book of Acts also verifies the triune nature of God. In Acts 2:33, it says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." Acts 2:33. So, the Trinity of God is eternal. It is with no beginning, and it is with no end. Amen. So, Psalms 90, 1 through 2 records this. It says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or over, thou hast formed the earth and the world. even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And in Genesis 21:33, it says, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called thereon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. So, my friend, the eternal nature of God is best illustrated by a circle. The circle has no visible starting point or ending point, yet it exists when you look at that circle. And so that is an excellent illustration. So the eternal nature of God, I want to speak to you about the eternal nature of God. Again, we're speaking about the Commander-in-Chief, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But when we look at the eternal nature of God, we have to understand that here, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. This means he is without flesh and blood, and therefore invisible to the natural eyes of men. I'm talking about God the Father. In John 4:24, it says this, and God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is sovereign. God is the sovereign, meaning greatest power in all the universe. And for more of this, you can read in Ephesians chapter 1 and in Romans chapter 9 about the sovereignty of God. God is omnipresent. What does this mean? It means God is present everywhere. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And Psalm 139:7-8, it says, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God is omniscient. This means God knows all things. Psalm 139:4 says, thou knowest it altogether. 1 John 3:20, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And Hebrews 4:13, but all things are naked and opened before the eyes of him with whom we have to do, meaning to give account. God is omnipotent. This means God is all-powerful. And Genesis 17:1 says, I am the Almighty God. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. Revelation 19:6, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And Psalm 62:11 says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God is unchanging. See, God does not change his person, nature, purpose, or plans. Amen. Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Look, God is holy. What does this mean? That God is sinless, absolutely pure. In Leviticus 19:2, it says, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God is just. God is fair and impartial in his judgment. In Deuteronomy 32:4, it says, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is God. God is faithful. God keeps his promises and is absolutely trustworthy. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen. Oh, how many of us can speak about the faithfulness of God? God is benevolent, meaning God is good, kind, and he desires your welfare. In Psalm 145:9, it says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God is merciful. God shows mercy to sinful mankind. Yes, he does. In Exodus 34, 6 through 7, it says, "The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands." God is gracious. God shows undeserved kindness to sinful man. In Exodus 22, 7, he says, "For I am gracious." The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. That is also found in Psalm 145, 8. God is loving. Amen. God is love. 1 John 4, 8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth God, for God is love." God is wise. God shows deep understanding and keen discernment. Proverbs 3:19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding has he established the heavens." Amen. God is infinite. See, God is not subject to natural and human limitations. He is not subject to the limitations of space. In 1 Kings 8:27, it says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded." So he is not subject to the limitations of time either. "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Exodus 15, 18. Yes, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. You see, God the Father, he is the commander of the spiritual forces of good, which oppose the spiritual forces of evil. Now, this is his special function in the realm of spiritual warfare. You know, you just learned God is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere in the universe. God's throne is in a place called heaven, but he is also omnipresent. Because, you know, we ask, you know, where is God? Where is God? Well, Isaiah 66, 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." God is everywhere, my friend. There are many names for God. You know, the Bible gives other names for God, which reveal his ministry to you as you are engaged in this great spiritual warfare. There are many names for God. For example, there is Jehovah, which means Lord. The Bible combines this word with other names for God. For example, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. You know, Jehovah Rapha, for example, means the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nisi means the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord our peace, you know, and there are many others. There is also Elohim, means God is used wherever the creative power of God is implied. Elohim. There's also Father, you know, that is another name for him. We find that in Acts 17, 28 and John 1, 12 through 13. Now, there is another name, Adonai, which means Lord or Master. And we can find that in Exodus 23, 17, in Isaiah 10, 16, and 33. And there is also El. Now, this is often used in combination with other words for God. El Shaddai, which means the God who is efficient for the needs of his people. There's El Olam, meaning the everlasting God. And then there's El Elyon, most high God, who is exalted above other so-called gods. There is also Yahweh. Now in the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, which it was written, the word Yahweh means God. Now this word is combined with other words to reveal more about the character of God. You know, for example, God is called Yahweh Jireh, meaning the Lord provides. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. Yahweh Sabaoth, meaning the Lord of hosts. You know, there is a Yahweh Elohim Israel, the Lord God of Israel. Then there's many others. There's the Lord of hosts. That's another name that he goes by. The Lord of hosts. In the biblical record, there are different names of God that were used when requesting God to move in a specific way on behalf of the people of Israel. For example, the name Jehovah Rapha, meaning the Lord that healeth. It was used when seeking healing. So the specific name of God, which should be used in spiritual warfare, is Yahweh Sabaoth, which is translated the Lord of hosts. Now, in the King James Version of the Bible, when you call upon that name in warfare, the battle is the Lord's, and all the hosts of heaven will come to your aid. Now, let's talk about God the Son, Jesus Christ. Again, this is part three, the Commander-in-Chief. God the Son, Jesus Christ, he combines the divine and the human natures in one union. Now, God the Father sent Jesus Christ to earth in human form while yet retaining his divine nature. Jesus was sent by God to earth so man could be pardoned from sin. You know, again, you find this in John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, the story of Jesus is recorded in the Bible in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, these books provide a detailed record of the birth, the life, the death and resurrection, and the teachings and the ministry of Jesus. Now, as part of the plan of God, Jesus came forth to earth in human form. He ministered to men and women. He died for the sins of mankind, men and women. And he was physically, that is so important. He was physically resurrected from the dead. And he commissioned his followers to bear the gospel to the nations of the world. Now, where is Jesus? Following his resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to many people. You know, he commissioned his followers, and then he returned to heaven. But remember, even though he is in heaven, he is still omnipresent. His presence is everywhere. Now, there are special functions of Jesus in relation to spiritual warfare, and they include the following. I'm going to read these to you. Number one. Special function number one, redeeming man from sin. This is the special function of Jesus. Number one, redeeming man from sin. You know, it is through the death of Jesus Christ that you are freed from the bondage of sin in which the enemy has ensnared you. 2 Peter 2:19 says, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." Romans 8:21 says this, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." And Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith God hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." He redeemed us from sin. Here, special function number two of Jesus is the authority over the forces of evil. So you will study later in this spiritual warfare teaching that the death of Jesus not only freed mankind from sin, but it also resulted in triumph over the forces of evil. And because of this, Christian, you have authority over the enemy. In Luke 9:1, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." Amen. Function number two. Three, I'm sorry. Function number three. Destroying the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Function number four, intercession for believers. This is the fourth function of Jesus, intercession for believers. You see, in heaven, Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for believers who are engaged in spiritual warfare. This means he is talking to the Father on your behalf, Christian. Romans 8:34, it says this, it is Christ that died, ye rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Go to Jesus, my friend. You see, the names of Jesus, oh, they literally take your breath away. The name Jesus means Savior or Deliverer. And the name Christ means the Anointed One. You find that in John 4, verse 25 through 26. Now, there are many additional names given to Jesus in the Bible. And I'm going to take a big breath and I'm going to give these out to you. He is the Advocate. These are just some of the many names of Jesus. He is the Advocate. He is the Advocate, 1 John 2:1, amen. He is the Alpha and Omega, Revelation 21:6. He is the Almighty, Revelation 1:8. He is the Amen, Revelation 3:14. Ancient of Days in Daniel 7:9. Author, Finisher of our faith in Hebrews 12:2. The Author of Eternal Salvation, Hebrews 5:9. The Begotten of God, 1 John 5:18. The Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. The Branch, Zechariah 3:8. The Bread of Life, John 6:48. Bright and Morning Star, Revelation 22:16. Captain of the Lord's Host, Joshua 5:15. Carpenter's Son, Matthew 13:55. Chief Cornerstone, 1 Peter 2:6. Chief Among 10,000, Song of Solomon 5:10. Christ, John 1:41. Counselor, in Isaiah 9:6. Deliverer in Romans 11:26, door in John 10:9, elect Isaiah 42:1, Emmanuel in Matthew 1:23, eternal life in 1 John 5:20. He is the faithful and true. He is the faithful witness, the first begotten, the first and last, glorious Lord, great high priest, head of the body, head over all things, headstone, heir of all things, Holy One of Israel, hope of glory, the I Am, image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the King of glory. He is the Lamb of God. He is the light of the world. He is the lily of the valleys. He is the living bread. He is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of all, the Lord our righteousness. He's the love. He's the man of sorrows, the master, the Messiah, the most holy, Nazarene, only wise God, our Passover. He's the physician. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the Redeemer. He's the Resurrection, the Righteous Servant. He's the Rock, the Root of Jesse, the Rose of Sharon. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Seed of David, the Seed of the Woman. He's the Shepherd, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of Mary. He is the Stone. He's the Son of Righteousness. He's the Sure Foundation. He is Teacher. He is Truth. He is Unspeakable Gift. He's Divine. He's the Way. He's the Wonderful. He's the Word. And He is the Word of God. He is Jesus. He is the Commander-in-Chief. Amen. This concludes part three, the Commander-in-Chief, spiritual warfare.